And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio, live from Red Barn Winery on the Black Sage Bench. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, along the Sea to Sky Highway from Squamish to Lillooet and all 19 other cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. Today we're on location for the first time at the Red Barn at Jagged Rock on the Black Sage Bench with our host Graham Norton of the iconic wineries of British Columbia. Graham, welcome to the show.
Anthony, officially welcome to Red Barn Winery.
What a joint. You got to be happy about this place.
We are so excited to have the winery open and really, really happy to finally have you here.
I always wondered why it was called the Red Barn when, you know, 20 years ago it was a Red Barn, sort of, but nothing like this.
It's gone through a bit of a renovation for sure, but as you know, it has always been a working winery, or excuse me, working barn for us.
Yes.
With tractors and equipment, and now we've just been able to transition it to an incredible winery.
Yeah, it is spectacular and understated and totally Anthony, as I would say. Every piece of it, from the steps up, everything is the fit and finish, incredible.
Thoughtful, detail and focused, but also incredibly functional. And we are even more excited about the wines that are coming out of this winery.
Well, it's pretty interesting to be on Jagged Rock, which has been a sort of a superstar vineyard now in the last 3 or 4 years. It's really been spreading its wings here. Well, what is special about this site, do you think, for the company?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we continue to evolve in the Okanagan, that I do see this vineyard here at Jagged Rock being in that consideration if we were to have a Grand Cru site in the valley. It goes back, there's just so much history here. I mean, it was planted in 1997, but the way that it was formed, you've got these multiple glaciations that would have happened, this really unique soil that runs along the Black Sage Bench. But, you know, to be able to have a vineyard that then comes up to 1,400 feet in elevation, that, you know, you think about the soil here, it's a lot of this sandy loam that makes up the bench, but you've got millennia prevailing winds that would have came through, so you've got this classic glacial outwash and then a really significant amount of granite as the tops of the rocks would have been broken off by these strong winds, and then these really unique pockets of soil throughout it. So the fact that we can grow Syrah up against the rock face because the heat radiates around, and then Semillon all the way up to the top, I mean, it makes this vineyard incredibly unique.
And the snake dens are pretty impressive, too.
Well, we wanted to make sure we keep them safe, absolutely.
Yeah.
both the workers and the snakes.
Well, you're in charge of the iconic wineries of British Columbia. There's several in the group, so you might want to mention them when I ask you this. But how do you keep the properties separate and on their own path? And what do you share stuff? What are some of the things you share, and what are some of the things that you just keep separate?
Yeah, I mean, I think each winery really does function independently with its own winemaker, its own winemaking philosophy, a really distinct impression on the wines and styles that are coming from within. I think, you know, some things that are shared are just some back-end capabilities, organizational structure, those kind of things. But really, each property is so incredibly distinct and unique, and I think that's really important.
Yeah. So Checkmate's not Cedar Creek, and well, Shane is a whole different ballgame at Martin's Lane. And it's a great group. Now, this one adds to the group. It's just so great that you can pull all that together and people get along and make it work. My last question is, what about the grapes? How do they get divvied up amongst everybody?
Yeah, really right down to the road, to tell you the truth, Anthony. Like, these are conversations that happen, you know, at the beginning of the year, and each section of every parcel of every vineyard is farmed specifically for a particular winery. So, you know, you look at the project that we're doing here at Red Barn, in some cases, the production of any particular wine is as small as 4 rows that are coming just here to Red Barn. So the production is quite small, very specific to what we're trying to do here. And, you know, the unique thing in this project specifically is even the varieties that are going into some of the wines that... We have a rosé built around Sangiovese, a red blend built around Barbera. We've got Nebbiolo, Tempranillo, Vermentino planted here that we think are going to make their way into this winery in the future. So I think it's really exciting to see not just the style, but also us be able to tell the ability of having a very unique set of wines coming.
So it's kind of like a little incubator for the group too, maybe, and we'll see how these varieties flush out in the coming years.
That's right.
Beautiful site. People will be able to come here and all of your sites. I think it's important now, with the tough winter and everything, people should get organized, maybe join a club or at least get online and make some reservations if they want to be able to taste the wines that they really want to taste this year.
I think that's going to be really important. I see the wines across the Okanagan Valley in British Columbia becoming more and more scarce, for sure. As you know so well, wine club is the best way to do that. And, you know, I even look at this project here. We just softly opened at the end of November. We just opened to the public a few weeks ago, and we think we're at the position where we're probably going to have to start a wait list on our club already because the production here is so small. So really the best way to experience the best wines of British Columbia are to join a winery wine club.
Thanks so much, Graham. Always great to see you.
Love being here.
Another great addition to the club.
Thanks for being here, Anthony.
That was Graham Norton of the Iconic Wineries of British Columbia. We're coming to you from the Red Barn at Jagged Rock on the Black Sage Bench in the South Okanagan. Up next, Red Barn head winemaker Kaylee Barsh joins us. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Red Barn Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, a perfect place for summer fun. Plan your June vacation around these great events. Celebrate the king of rock and roll at the Penticton Elvis Festival beginning June 22nd, followed by the Peach City Beach Cruise, Canada's premier rod, antique, and classic car show on the 23rd. Also beginning on the 23rd, join the eight bands of the Okanagan Nation Alliance at the powwow between the lakes. Then starting June 30th, chow down at Penticton Rib Fest. Go to visitpenticton.com for information on these and more festivals and events.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after four decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine, so why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com?
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Aaron Krebda, Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Aaron, it's summertime and a great time to explore with the family. Give us some ideas for planning to spend some time in Langley this summer.
Well, I'd encourage packing a cooler and taking a self-guided Circle Farm tour of Langley. There, you could do your grocery shopping right at the farm for the freshest ingredients like cheese and berries and, of course, a bottle or two of local wine. And you can find options at circlefarmtour.ca.
Okay, I like that. Keeping it local, that's a great way to spend a day. What else should we be doing on a summer bucket list for Langley?
A very different option would be to take in a game of one of our two professional sports teams, the Vancouver FC, which is a brand new soccer team, or the Vancouver Bandits basketball team.
Okay, that's a great idea, and that would probably leave some time to spend before or after the game. Any suggestions for that?
Definitely, I would recommend trying one of our local restaurants. Many of them use locally grown ingredients.
And you mentioned there's something that happens on summer nights that's unique to Langley.
Yes, the Twilight Drive-In. It's the only drive-in in Metro Vancouver. You bring some chairs or blankets for your car, and you've got a guaranteed fun night out for a couple or family.
Okay, that brings back some great summer memories. Speaking of summer nights, you also have a night market.
Yes, the Fort Langley Night Market. It's a great way to spend a Friday night in July and August in the village. It happens at the corner of Mary and Glover with local drinks, food trucks, vendors, and live music.
And will there be any live music festivals?
Yeah, the Fort Langley Jazz and Arts Music Festival is taking place July 20th to 23rd, and it's got a variety of events each day.
And more details for all of these ideas are on your website.
That's right.
Aaron, thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony. I'll talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location at Red Barn Winery. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and thanks for listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Continuing our BC-wide road trip today, we're on location at the Red Barn Winery at Jagged Rock. Our guest is the head winemaker, Kaylee Bars. Kaylee, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for hosting us.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
You are living the life here with this place.
I sure am.
Wow, it's so gorgeous.
It is. It's spectacular.
You designed it all, I imagine.
Of course. I'll take all the credit.
Yeah. Winemakers generally design everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's great. Just maybe let our listeners know what the Red Barn's all about, maybe on a global sort of scale.
Sure. So we're located on the top of the Black Sage Bench, right smack in the middle of the most spectacular winery, or the most spectacular vineyard in the Okanagan.
Mm-hmm.
So huge rock face, the Jagged Rock right behind us here, encloses in the entire vineyard, creates quite a heat dome. So we're a super hot part of the valley down this way, and the Red Barn is bright red and in the middle.
Yeah. But you're not a normal winery in the terms of the wines that you're producing. So let's talk a bit about the lineup and how that's all come about.
Very true. So we're sourcing all of our fruit from this vineyard here, and we're really a little bit of a test lab for what this vineyard can actually do. So we have a couple really neat Italian varieties, Barbera, Sangiovese, Nebbiolo has just been planted. So we're really pushing the limits here on what we can do in the Okanagan on this site.
And you brought a Semillon, which is, of course, we have it in BC, but not a lot of it. That's such a great grape.
It is, and it's nice to do it on its own. You don't see that so much.
Yeah. Do you get to decide all this then? What's going to be made here and how it's made?
Yeah, if they have the grapes here, I can do it. And there's tons of flexibility here, and the wines are going to change year to year. So it's a super creative, flexible project.
Well, I've been walking around inside the winery. Although it's spare in a great way, there's a lot of interesting things inside the winery. What can you tell us about that and some of those tanks, the spectacular-looking tanks, which not many people get to see, but it's beautiful.
It's very true. It's worth the trip. We have these spectacular chromatic purple Lassie red fermenters right in the center of the main cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be surrounded by a whole bunch of different concrete eggs, amphora, whole bunch of different vessels.
Mm-hmm. Sort of smaller vessels that sort of fit the frame of what's going on here.
Definitely.
So the wines are going to come and go pretty quickly, I would imagine, given the production.
Definitely. They're already going pretty quick this summer, and we're only in May.
And we thought we'd invite people to join the wine club, but they're joining without any, by word of mouth, at a huge rate.
They are. It's been incredible, all the support we've had opening up just recently. Yeah.
But you can come by and visit, which is a nice thing. Like, I mean, the Red Barn's been here forever, but it was never a place to visit as a winemaking facility.
Definitely. People are sort of happening upon us slowly as the summer is progressing here, and it's been awesome.
Okay, let's get into the wines. We're going to try two today, the Lost Art Semillon and the Transfixion Rosé. Which will we start with?
Let's start with the Semillon.
Okay.
Planted all the way along the top east side of the property. Super hot sites. So we really lean into that. Picked the grapes a little bit riper than typical for Semillon and created a little bit of a richer style. It is fermented and aged in a couple smaller concrete vessels, so tons of texture, really great food pairing wine.
It smells more tropical than say the regular Semillon. Do you think it will react the same? Like normally the young Semillon's fairly acidic, and then after two or three years it flips over to a completely different wine. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to age really nicely, similar to how a Chardonnay would age. We did a lot of leaf stirring on this wine, so I think that texture is going to integrate really nicely, and I love an aged Semillon, so we really see really cool to see what it can do.
It's pretty nice in the mouth. Eh? It has a sense of elegance that you wouldn't normally associate with such a young Semillon.
Definitely. That classic South Okanagan minerality for you.
Yeah, and a sort of silky, creamy texture. I guess that's from the lees. And
a little bit, and the concrete can do that as well. So it's a great, lots of complexity there.
And ripe. It is ripe.
Very.
Like you feel the fruit in there, the tropical fruit characters in it. What do you think about the ageability then?
I mean, this is the early days for Red Barn, so we'll see. But I'd love to see it in 3 to 4 years, how it's looking.
Pretty snappy packaging. I love the Lux screw caps. A winner for me, just having the screw cap, which is, I think, a necessary thing now for white wine. But tell us a little bit about the way you think about all that.
Definitely. I think the Red Barn wines are meant to be drank a little bit younger. They don't need a ton of aging. They're meant to be fun and fresh, sold the summer after they're produced, and sort of next year we'll have a whole new set of wines ready. So that's more of the philosophy that we have here at Red Barn. And of course, all of the wine labels are designed by local artists. The Semillon in particular is done by a fantastic street artist out of Vancouver, Kathy Agar, and she was actually at our opening event back in April, signing bottles and showing some of her other art pieces, which is really fun.
It's a pretty slick design too. Well, everything about it, the packaging, even the shape of the bottle, which is different than what most people would see. What's that? What's the origin of that?
We just wanted to do something different, something a little bit versatile. We're trying to sort of disrupt the industry a little bit down here and have some unique stuff. So
you said it. Yeah. It's kind of a hipster joint,
I would say.
Not
definitely.
Kind of. It is a hipster joint.
Yes. Yeah.
It's interesting because do you think you'll attract a lot of young people here too, or are you already doing that? And so many people say young people aren't interested in wine. I don't really believe that. And they're interested. They need an avenue in, I think.
I totally agree. We've already had tons of younger guests in, and I think this brand appeals to them a lot. It's really approachable. The on-site team here tries to make everyone's experience really fun and a little bit educational, but mostly just really approachable.
Yeah. We're speaking with the winemaker, Kaylee Bars, from the Red Barn on the Black Sage Bench, and we're situated right on Jagged Rock Vineyard. Now, the 2021 Transfixion Rosé, you can use any grapes you want. What did you choose for your rosé?
So we went with a couple Okanagan classics and then one sort of fun Italian variety here. So we've got Cab Franc, we've got Syrah, and then we've got Sangiovese, which is super fun for rosé. It's got really incredible bright grapefruit aromatics during ferment. And those Italian varieties tend to retain acidity really well. So in a rosé that you want to be bright and fresh for the summer, it definitely achieves that.
It's just, it has everything, including that little bite that you want at the end. You think it's going to be riper than it's ripe, but you think it's going to be sweeter than it is, and then it just dries out and has that sort of citrus bite. I love it.
Definitely. And fermented and aged in concrete as well, so it's got a nice little roundness to it, which is really nice.
Yeah. And the color, do you fuss about that, or do you take what you get? Or
I'll take what I get. This one's nice and pale, which is certainly a rosé trend these days, but doing something darker might be really fun.
I don't know about that. I don't know whether people want to drink dark rosé anymore. It's interesting. I shouldn't be that way. When I see a dark rosé, I think, I don't know. Do I really want to taste that?
I'm kind of the same way, but we got to be disruptive sometimes, so we'll see.
Yeah, there you go. Disruptive. Okay, we're almost out of time. Maybe just quickly, what other varieties can people explore here if they come by?
Sure. So we've also got Barbera available in our red blend, and actually for 22, I'm going to produce as a single vintage or a single variety wine, so that's going to be really exciting. We've got Syrah, we've got Cab Franc, we've got a great Viognier, and lots more to come.
And to visit the property, do they need, they should get a rezzo? Is that the best way to experience? I see you have beautiful little tasting areas.
We do recommend, our reservations are certainly recommended. We're a pretty small space, but we'll try to accommodate everyone that we can.
Yeah. Well, I think you're going to have a lot of fun here this summer.
Me too.
Yeah. It's such a beautiful place. It's very peaceful inside, folks, and then you have these disruptive wines. I think we'll call them that for the moment, because they're delicious wines. The Red Barn, it's a great package. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Kaylee Barr. She's the head winemaker here at Red Barn Winery, and we're coming to you from Red Barn Winery at Jagged Rock Vineyard on the Black Sage Bench. Up next, Corey Kriebel joins us. She's the chief winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate. We're going to talk about rosé and Oculus. There's two pairs that are very different. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
There's more to come from Red Barn Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate High Altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan, a perfect place for a summer road trip. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic, locally sourced restaurants and gorgeous patios too. It's the perfect destination for a summer getaway. Before you go, make sure to check for information on wine tours, winery events, and help in planning your trip online at visitpenticton.com.
There's a million reasons to visit the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Kick things off with a modestly fabulous wine experience on our tasting room terrace, now open for wine season. Tired of all that sommelier talk? Kick back and take in the breathtaking view with an ice-cold refreshment. If you listen carefully, you might even hear the bell tower in the distance. Visit the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery today.
Attention wine connoisseurs, Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Farm and Winery. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberfarm.com. Simply great wines.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio, on location at Red Barn Winery. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Turn it up, it's your favorite song. Dance, dance, dance to the distortion. Turn it up, keep it on repeat.
Stumble. Hello, British Columbia, and happy summer. Today we're on location at Red Barn Winery at the Jagged Rock Vineyard. Our guest is Corey Kriebel. She's the chief winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate Winery. Corey, how are you? Welcome
I'm
to the show.
Great. Thank you so much, Anthony.
It's so great to meet the chief winemaker, to give us some time.
Thank you.
You're so busy.
It's great to be down here to see the vineyards today.
Yeah. Well, you spend a lot of time in the vineyards, don't you?
I do. Minimum twice a week as we get closer into the growing season.
I think it's pretty important. If you got to be in touch with the vineyards. That's where it all happens.
The foundation. The one thing we cannot change is that fruit source and how it tastes.
Yeah. You're big on blending and the power of blending. So the differences in the vineyards, all of that must come into play into the blend.
100%. So I spend hours walking the vineyards and walking with our viticulturists and mapping out areas that we're going to take select pieces from.
Yeah.
Because even in our terroir series, which is just a single vineyard that we will end up using, it still tends to be a number of picks, etc. Because the power to blend, to me, I always feel that you can bring more together from several pieces than just a single on its own.
Yeah. I think the Bordelais got that right from the start, that blending was the way to go.
100%. And that's where I take a lot of my inspiration from is Bordeaux.
Yeah. And I think, well, I'm glad you explained that, because a lot of people think, okay, well, yeah, they're eating grapes at the end of the season and they're putting the blend together. No, no, no. You have to start way ahead of that.
Absolutely. And it starts realistically in January.
Yeah.
As we start thinking about the year ahead, what worked the last year, what sections we feel that have the most potential, you know, in the springtime, walking through and seeing just how things are bud bursting and where the potential's sitting. And then it goes through all summer, and then we start tasting
right
the berries.
Up to the crush, yeah. Well, it's very interesting because you brought two wines today that it's hard to imagine. You brought Oculus and a Borda Vista Rosé. They come from the same vineyard, more or less.
They do, but
how can you make a rosé and a flagship red wine in the same vineyard?
Very. Very precise selection is what I would say. So we've picked a couple of areas out of the vineyard that tend to naturally crop a little bit higher. There's more vigor sitting there. We know in one particular Merlot block that's the foundation here, we determined that originally there was actually a stream running through that area that's actually giving it a bit of a water source. And so it actually lends quite nicely to rosé, and we do end up getting, you know, quite a bit more of those rosé-esque flavors, and then we pick for rosé versus for the reds.
Yeah. And what kind of rosé do you want to make, or have you made? What's your concept?
So Provence is my concept behind it, for sure. Light color, you know, pairing with food, delicate. That's really what I'm looking for. And so especially when you look at this terroir, it's not your typical fruity tank ferment. It's one that has been fermented and aged in about 50% neutral oak barrel as well, just to give more texture and weight to it.
Yeah.
It has about 5% Cabernet Franc in it. It's a Merlot base, about 5% Cabernet Franc, about 8% Syrah. That Syrah is going to give it a touch of spice, and that Cab Franc gives it this herbal character that I find really lends itself to, you know, pairing with wine or with foods as well.
It's so delicious. This is released under the Terroir Series at Mission Hill.
It
the Terroir
is.
Series very quickly is.
So that's a single vineyard that we end up sourcing from.
Yeah.
I like to call it winemaker's choice.
Yeah.
So we can vary it year to year as to what we feel is special, different techniques that we're using, either in the vineyard or in the winery. But to me, the rosé is always tends to be a foundation at Borda Vista, and again, that real food component and looking towards that savory and very dry look to the rosé.
I think they should be very afraid in Provence.
Thank you.
Because when you smell this wine, it already takes you there. I mean, of course, it's not from there. It's from here. But then we could say that there's not from there. Maybe it's from here. Who knows? But yeah, it's really, it's lovely wine. The color's fantastic. I just think it's a delicious wine. And under cork?
Under cork.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Are you adamant about that, or is it because it's been in oak, or why do you do that?
Part of it is because it's been under oak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to say that we won't necessarily move to screw cap in the future, but it is one that I feel is a serious wine that can use just that touch more oxygen ingress.
We just want to open it faster, that's all. We don't really care about the cork or the screw cap. We just want to get at it quicker. So, yeah, way to go. Delicious.
Thank you.
That was the 2022.
That is the 22.
Now we're going to try the Oculus from the same site, basically.
Yes.
I guess a little lower down, maybe.
Yes, down that particular Merlot block, yes.
And this is a complex blend.
It is. So it is a Bordeaux-style blend. It is our Okanagan's take on the right bank of Bordeaux.
Yeah.
So Merlot-based, then followed by Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, and just a touch Petite. So this is the 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So in general, really quite a nice growing year.
Yep.
Very warm throughout the season. No real heat spikes or real cool weather during the season until we got to September, which it, you know, the heavens decided to release all of their rain at the beginning of September. Not too bad for our Bordeaux varieties.
Yeah.
And then it turned much nicer towards
it
the end.
It sort of plumps them up a bit. It puts them back in shape. And then you have a nice long dry run. It's perfect.
Yes, we definitely dried out by the time we were starting to pick that. So
the Portuguese port producers love that. They love some sort of a hit in September before the long run out.
But yes, before it gets too raisined.
Yeah.
So, yes,
okay, so Oculus, 2019, so what is, how many vintages is that now? It's about, must be 25 vintages?
Yeah, so 1997 was our very first vintage. So this is basically the 25th year of Oculus.
Yeah.
So pretty exciting times for us at the winery, for sure.
The wine has changed a lot over the years. I mean, the concept's the same, but it's been tweaked really nicely over the time. Actually, you're tweaking it in a lovely manner, too.
Thank you.
It has this one. It has a really wonderful elegance now. Like, it's shed that final sort of that tannin that was, you know, would stick around longer, I believe, anyways. It still ages effortlessly, but it's just so much more together in the mouth from the get-go.
And that's something we've really focused on in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, is really about the tannin profile. And especially Merlot in the Valley, it surprises people, but Merlot has a lot of tannin here. Mm-hmm. And so it really comes down to a picking decision and making sure that the tannins are ripe, but you're still getting that real fruit freshness that we can get out of the Okanagan Valley, but then being very careful in the fermenters. So we're working it early, getting a lot of that fruit sitting there, getting a lot of the density that's in those grapes, but then at the end, backing right off. So we're not getting a lot of that seed tannin.
Way to go. 2019, Oculus. Now, this wine will be released.
It is being released in June.
In June, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for people that are in the know, they get it in June, and that's correct, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Our guest is Corey Kriebel. She's the chief winemaker, and believe it or not, she actually brought a list of the concerts that are going on, and she says there's seats. So tell people who have never been able to get in what's going on.
Absolutely. For those of you that have not attended yet, I would highly recommend coming and seeing our concerts. It is absolutely gorgeous. You could look over the lake and be in our amphitheater.
Yeah, it's so nice.
5 different concerts that we have this year through July and August. So showcasing Diana Krall, Dean Brody, Lyle Lovett, Colin James, and Sarah McLachlan.
Wow. Wow.
So great lineup.
That's a great lineup. I saw Diana Krall many, many years ago at St. Michelle. She was just brilliant outside. It's the perfect setting to be outside for those concerts.
Absolutely. A glass of wine in hand, maybe our terroir rosé.
And for people who are visiting or want to visit the winery at this moment, what's happening? Is it all reso still, or that's the way to come, I think.
Absolutely. So if you have a chance to book a reservation, that's the way to go. Mm-hmm. You can always come up and see if there's a reservation available. However, I would highly recommend booking in advance, especially for our terrace restaurant.
Yeah. Corey, so great to see you. Thanks for joining us today. I know you're very busy. You're off to look at vineyards, but it was great to have a quick catch-up.
Thanks so much, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Our guest has been Corey Kriebel. She's the chief winemaker at Mission Hill Family Estate Winery. Up next, Shane Munn joins us. He's the winemaker at Martin's Lane Winery. He joins us to talk about Riesling in the north of the Okanagan. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Red Barn Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, a perfect place for outdoor adventures this summer. After a day full of activities, stop in for a visit to one of the almost 100 area wineries. Bask in the beautiful South Okanagan sunshine with a summer wine tasting and find your new favorite wine. Dine in world-class locally sourced restaurants and enjoy patio season too. It's the perfect destination for a relaxing summer getaway. Before you go, make sure to check for information on wine tours, winery events, and help in planning your trip online at visitpenticton.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after 4 decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine. So why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com?
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Kenzie, I spend a lot of time at the wineries in the area, but I really need to set some other time aside to check out some of the small towns. What can you tell me about Ladysmith? Because it looks so attractive.
Yeah, Ladysmith is really like taking a step back in time. It's full of restored heritage buildings that house a variety of different shops, bookstores, and eateries. In Ladysmith, you can enjoy a heritage walk through First Avenue, which has actually been deemed one of Canada's greatest streets.
Wow, that sounds like a must-do when you're there. What are some other highlights people can check out in Ladysmith?
Well, Anthony, Ladysmith is a historic seaside community with small-town charm. It's tucked at the base of hillsides and fronted by a beautiful harbor. So during the summer months, you can enjoy harbor boat tours as well as live music and dining on the dock down at the Ladysmith Community Marina.
You mentioned how Ladysmith is surrounded by nature. What are some of the outdoor activities and anything near the water?
Transfer Beach is a beautiful destination. It's a beach park that features swimming, a large playground, and a place to rent paddleboards and kayaks. Other popular activities include hiking the trail up to Heart Lake, mountain biking, golfing, and birdwatching.
Sounds like there's something for everyone. And what about the folks that are into art and culture?
Yeah, Ladysmith is a vibrant arts community, from the outdoor arts market during the Arts on the Avenue Festival in August to concerts in the park and the Ladysmith Little Theater. There's really always something going on. Be sure to check out the art gallery as well, and you might even be lucky enough to meet the artisans.
Okay, Kenzie, you sold me on that. Thanks so much. It's on my list for a relaxing day in the Cowichan.
Thanks so much, Anthony.
Make your own plan to visit at tourismcowichan.com. Till next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio, on location at Red Barn Winery. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We are on the road again. Today we're on location at the Red Barn, the newly opened Red Barn Winery at Jagged Rock. Our guest is Shane Munn. He's come all the way down from Martin's Lane, way up north in Kelowna. Shane, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming south. Come down, experience a little heat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a couple of degrees colder, warmer down here.
Yeah, I would say so. How are you doing?
Wonderful.
Yeah? Did you have a good break?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Did a bit of camping over the weekend around Arrow Lake.
Uh-huh.
Jumped in a 10-degree lake
to
freshen up. Apparently it's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, you look fantastic.
It's done nothing for my hair.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Riesling today, because you brought a wine, which is great. We can talk about different styles, different ages, all kinds of things, because Riesling's pretty versatile. So let's start with Sperling Vineyard, because it's new to the lineup.
Yes, new to the family. Our company acquired Sperling Vineyards in September last year, mm-hmm. So literally about 2 weeks before harvest, And so, probably the jewel in their vineyard crown is their Old Vines Riesling, planted in 1978. That's sort of getting goosebumps just thinking about it.
Yeah, like when you hear that.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, like, what, 45 years old? You don't, as a winemaker, just often just turn up and get the luxury of working with vines that old. And it's not just those 45-year-old vines. I worked with Anne Sperling about 20 years ago in Niagara, and working alongside her, I guess, opened my eyes into organics and biodynamics and that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. of which she is, you know, the queen of those areas in Canada.
Yeah.
And I haven't looked back since, so she's probably one or two or three people in my career that has really, I'd say, has mentored me, and sort of you look back and your career wouldn't be what it is without her.
Yeah. So, because you're a pretty serious dude.
Yeah. Deadly serious.
Yeah. We like that about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what did you expect with an old vine? You're not working with vines that old. So, what are you getting or seeing, or what's happening in this vineyard that could be happening in yours as the years go by?
I guess it's one of those things one of the things I think you find with old vines is a density and a core of fruit and a length of flavor that you don't get with younger vines. And often doesn't show through until the wine is finished, or, you know, like it's finished fermenting or you've actually put it in bottle. And that's, so I guess side by side with this, it's a similar style to our Signs Vineyard Riesling, which is off dry, low alcohol. You know, this is the sweetest Riesling we've ever made, but it happens to be the highest acid Riesling we've ever made. So, and when you try it alongside the Signs Vineyard Riesling, which is from vines that are about 22 years younger, there's an intensity of fruit and a delicacy with the Symes, but there's a core of fruit here that you just can't beat. And you know,
wow,
like I think it's 32 degrees down here today. I mean, I'd probably serve this as cold as you could get it. It's warming up quickly. It's 10.9% alcohol, but you know, I think it's probably, of all the wines you'll try today, it's probably the one that's best suited to this environment on this day.
So, just for the geeks, what is the total acidity and the residual sugar in this wine? Because it's quite balanced.
Yeah, which you know, that's the key to any wine, should have balance and that sort of stuff, whether it's wine, food, anything. This has 35 grams per liter residual sugar, 10 grams of acid, which you kind of, you don't taste, you feel it.
Yeah.
And it's got about 6 hours skin contact, so there's a phenolic structure there that I think helps moderate both of those, and it brings the perception of sweetness down, which kind of one of those things you always want with, you see that with good Mosel Rieslings.
Well, I feel you in a good way in this wine, because I'm not supposed to, you don't get involved in the wines, but there's a lighter character to this wine and a fresher character than I think I'm used to.
And I think that was the fun thing is directing the wine in this style. Like, really, we didn't set out. That's my flight.
That's your flight. you got to get back up to Kelowna. cool down, yeah.
A little biplane.
Yeah, we like it.
It's going to land on our driveway.
Yeah.
The wine directed itself into the style, really. So, like, Fruit Command 2022 was a wonderful harvest. They had the potential to be a terrible harvest, but fall just kept on going for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And we retained so much acidity, and it's the first harvest in our short history where you almost waited for the acidity to drop to harvestable levels, because it was unharvestable like at that time. So we would typically, in a regular harvest, pick by vineyard. So, for example, we'd typically start with Fritzi's vineyard, pick the Pinot Noir and the Riesling, then maybe Naramata, pick the Pinot Noir and the Riesling. 2022 was the complete opposite. We picked all our Pinot Noir, bit of a break, and then the Riesling once the acidities had dropped. But that's the dynamic nature of farming in the Okanagan, the fun part of it. It's not easy, but
no,
winemaking is never supposed to be easy.
That wine is delicious, man. Yeah. Like, it's really it's really got a
it
has energy, you know. That's what I like about it.
It's got depth. Like, the fruit was not exuberant at all.
No.
You know, fruit came in, you think it's a bit boring, you know, but you know, you could tell it was ripe and that sort of stuff. And so it's not fruity. I don't like fruity wines. I kind of think there's a delicacy and a floralness that I think will come in time. This is released next week, but I think, you know, it'll drink like I guess the inspiration for this was like Mosel style Rieslings that you know, Germans release them straight away.
I was just going to say that it's,
and you know, it'll drink well on release. But I think it could sell out, you know, probably 10, 15 years plus easily. So,
And the alcohol was?
10.9.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, you can have that for lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And go back to work.
You have two glasses.
Yeah.
So,
if you had to go back to work.
Yeah, yeah.
We're working anyway, so we could just have it.
I've just got to jump on the plane. So.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to Taylor a little earlier about, you know, when things are going on in the north of Kelowna. What are you happy with what's happening with the way it's been divided up? And
yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, we'll start putting like those sub GIs on our back label. I mean, it's not absolutely crucial for us that, you know, as a key marketing thing. I mean, to me, the key things that tell the story of our wines is the vintage and the vineyard and that kind of stuff. So, like, I guess we're distilling it down to the focus on, you know, this is going to be a single vineyard wine, but you know, where our brand is developing, especially with Pinot Noirs, is into smaller single block bottlings. And, you know, they're all from the same GI as the single vineyard. But I think that's where the fun attribute, you know, provenance is important with wines like ours and that kind of thing. So,
okay, we killed that. And it's delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to go.
Onto the second bottle.
So people can pick this up now. It's going to be available now, so there's no problem.
Yeah,
is it best to buy through?
Through the wine club.
Yeah.
I guess a small amount might be available to regular folk if they're not wine club members after that. But yeah, my guess at producing only 200 cases is it might get sucked up by the wine club.
So. Okay. Julius. I don't know anything about Julius. What do I need to know about Julius?
Well, it was either this or Julius. I thought Sperling Vineyards Riesling might be a bit more suitable to the weather.
Yeah.
But Julius is probably a close second. Julius is a wine we made for the first time last year in 2021. And how it came about is wanting to make one of those styles of wines that that I like to drink. So unlike our Pinot Noirs, they get a long maceration and then a long élevage in barrel. Julius is a short maceration red, only 12 days in the fermenter, and then just 4 months in barrel. None of it's new, and rather uniquely, it's a co-fermentation of Pinot Noir with Riesling. So it's mostly Pinot Noir.
Wow.
So 80% Pinot, 20% Riesling. The Riesling, I don't think, adds much in the way of character, but it adds a lightness. It brings more acidity. It's finer and lighter and juicy. So, and like our off dry Rieslings, the 2022 Julius will be released next month. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to capture the vivid fruit and the freshness.
Yeah.
You could serve it slightly chilled because the tannin is not complex tannin like in our Pinot Noirs. It's fine, juicy tannin. So just
you're not going soft up there, are you, Shane?
No. No, it's just trying to cover all the bases without having to make rosé.
Yeah. That is, oh my God, I just love that honesty. That's
so
great.
Well, I think you see here, you're going to try some pretty cool rosés. I think you'll try more rosés. It's like, so I don't like to muss. I like to kind of
you don't want to muscle in on that.
Creator rather than a disturber, is that it?
Disturber, that's good. Everybody's disruptive and disturbing today, so that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Shane, it's so great to see you. Enjoy the summer. I hope you go. Can you get to go sailing or anything?
I can't sail. I'm one of those New Zealanders that
doesn't sail,
very doesn't rare. Surf, and doesn't ski.
Wow.
So I usually just go camping and read books.
That's why your wines are so fine. You just work endlessly.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Look forward to the next time.
That was Shane Munn. He's the winemaker of Martin's Lane. We're coming to you from the Red Barn Winery at Jagged Rock Vineyard on the Black Sage Bench. Up next, Amy Painter, she's the winemaker, and Josh Muller is the chef de cuisine at Liquidity Wines. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come from Red Barn Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated conference and event center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
Tinhorn Creek Vineyards, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wine sourced from the Golden Mile. Stop by Tinhorn's newly opened tasting lounge featuring a fresh cocktail and food menu. And catch amazing summer concerts, including former Barenaked Ladies frontman Stephen Page, Saturday, July 15th. Tickets on sale now. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. That's Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
Welcome to The Loops. When you love something, you want to do it again and again. Here in Kamloops, you can do laps on your mountain bike or play another round of golf. And when you're ready, welcoming eateries will gladly bring out budget-friendly second helpings or refills. Later on, you can raise the roof for a melodic encore before tucking into a comfy bed, then waking up to discover something new to do all over again. That's what we mean by Welcome to The Loops. Go to tourismkamloops.com to plan your next road trip to The Loops.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at doñapaula.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio, on location at Red Barn Winery. Here again is Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC, and thanks for listening wherever you are across the British Columbia on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're coming to you from the Red Barn Winery at Jagged Rock Vineyard, and our guests are just down the road a bit. Amy Painter, she's the winemaker, and Josh Mulder is the chef de cuisine at Liquidity Wine. Amy, Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for coming down from Okanagan Falls.
Oof, the journey was very strenuous.
Yeah. It's a 37-minute drive, I'm told, on Google, so you really stretch it out.
Exactly, unless you take the scenic route, and it is just so beautiful down here.
Are you just having, like, too much fun in the wine business, Amy? Or, like, what is it? What do you take in the morning that...
Oh, I couldn't tell you that.
Okay, all right. Well, it's great to see you. We're going to... Actually, Chef, you brought some food, so we're going to start with the restaurant, because it had closed and then it was a pairing, it was open and pairing stuff, but now it's re-establishing itself again as a restaurant. What can you tell us about that?
We're opening 3 days a week on the weekends for lunch service. Me and Amy been working kind of a wine-led philosophy.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Our wines are most important, and then we pair nice food with it, and we do a little paired lunch, three-course lunch.
Are you a wine guy, Chef? Or,
I like wine,
are they making you a wine guy, or are a wine guy?
I'm getting more and more into it.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a great palate.
Wine is just about flavor. Food's about flavor, so it can't be a massive transition, I think.
No, it's quite interesting, and the whole process of how we pair and how we work together, it's really actually really fun and
then you meet people like me, you say, why the hell would you pair that with that? Like, that makes no sense at all, but... anyway, I have mellowed a lot in my years. I'm an old timer now, but I always thought this went with that, but that's not the case. It's a much more interesting science, and not a science in the end. If it works for you or for me, then that's probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's nodding like, you can tell me to take a hike anytime you want.
No, I agree with you. And the funny thing is that every different wine is completely different to the next rosé or what's like in,
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Amy, introduce the wine we're going to try with this food, and let's see if we can give it a pairing rating.
Absolutely. 10 out of 10, let me just tell you right off the bat.
Okay, there you go. That takes care of that.
So this is our 2022 Estate Rosé of Cabernet Franc.
Yeah.
So this is a super exciting new wine for us. The fruit is coming from a Soyuz right there on the border. We used a couple of different fermentation vessels for it. So we fermented the first pick in neutral French oak, just to bring a little bit of breadth and texture to the wine. And then the second portion we held in a stainless steel tank, really cold before it started fermenting, and mixed up the juice lees for about 2 weeks, which again kind of like helped bring a whole bunch of those really beautiful aromatic precursors out. And
delicious.
Thank you.
We've been tasting rosé, like, we did Red Barn, we did the Mission Hill, and now yours. These are really wonderful wines. It's hard for me to understand that a rosé could be that good in BC, given what came before it the last 30 years. And I just want to say that this is, like, it's world class, and that's a terrible thing to say, world class, but it is.
Thank you. Yeah, we take our rosé winemaking, like, super seriously.
Okay,
it's not an afterthought.
Let's try the match, Shep. Yeah. So we have a lot of different flavors in here.
Yes, so we have sear tuna with lettuce puree, little different textures of rhubarb, and pink peppercorn aioli.
Mm-hmm.
And all the different elements kind of bring these different cool aspects out in the wine.
Yeah. There's actually a silkiness in the dish that you get in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's so great when you're listening and you can't eat or taste these wines, but we're doing our best to express to you how much fun we're having.
Yum.
Yeah. Rosé of Cabernet Franc's kind of neat, too. You stuck it on the label. Was that intentional? Obviously, it's intentional, but why did you do that?
Yeah. So we also made a Rosé of Pinot Noir from 2022 as well. Yeah. So just to kind of make sure that everyone knew that they were very different and also to celebrate them, right? Like,
right.
It's... you know, maybe not super typical to use Cabernet Franc as a like standalone variety for rosé. But I think it's, yeah, it shows really well. And we wanted to just recognize it and give it a shout out.
Okay. And I want to give the proper time. So Liquidity's been making Viognier for a while. They're well known for it. So now you've brought the 2022.
Yes.
Maybe just a word about 2022, and then let's talk about this Viognier.
Yeah, absolutely. I think 2022, you know, coming off of 2021, was the most magnificent vintage ever in existence.
Wow. Wow, that's high praise. Write that down, folks, 2021.
We saw some really good yields, really beautiful concentration from fruit, yeah, just really lovely. The Viognier especially looked really, really good for 22. So I'm very excited about this.
What should people be looking for in Viognier, like versus Chardonnay or Sémillon? Like what are they going to get?
Yeah, for me, Viognier has like beautiful concentration on the nose, like beautiful florals, apricot, peach notes, and our Viognier especially has a beautiful line of acidity to it, which is something that's maybe not quite so typical for Viognier, but very selfishly,
it's
I want
to
drink.
It's got this sort of apricot and acidity that just punches through the finish, which I love because it's kind of floating along and then boom, it gets an energy boost at the end, which makes me think, I got to have another glass, sort of.
Exactly. That's what we're aiming for. Yeah, that
so
freshness.
Great.
Thank you.
The restaurant chef, so what's the plan for the summer in the restaurant? When will it be open and what will people experience?
We're open right now. The experience is a 3-course lunch paired lunch.
Yeah.
We start with a starter to have a choice of 2 starters, 2 mains, and then 2 desserts.
Nice.
And then we've paired it with Amy's beautiful wines. Yep.
Well, now lunch in the city is like 12 to 1. Is it longer out here in the valley?
Exactly. We do it 12 till 4.
Oh, okay.
And, so it's kind of like an afternoon. And obviously, if you've been at Liquidity, sitting on that patio and enjoying a nice glass of wine and having some beautiful food is always
the infinity pool and the view's spectacular.
The view is gorgeous.
I think a lot of people sort of drive by Okanagan Falls. They don't even know what's going on up there in the hills, but it's a gorgeous spot to check out the valley and have something to eat. And of course, art is big at the winery.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we just got a brand new exhibition come through.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful and vibrant, and I think really speaks to kind of the heart of what we're trying to do at Liquidity. It's fresh, it's interesting. There's kind of something for everybody there.
Now, before you go, we loved your first edition of Sparkling Wine.
Thank you. What's going on?
What's happening with the next one?
Yeah, absolutely. So current vintage is unfortunately sold out.
Yeah.
But don't panic. We're okay. We'll see the new release probably towards the end of the year.
Okay.
And we just put down the 2022. So very exciting things to come in the future.
That's so great. You guys are having fun.
Always.
We had fun talking to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Super. Our guests, Amy Painter, she's the winemaker, Josh Muller, the chef de cuisine at Liquidity Wines. That's it for today's show. Special thanks to our host, Graham Norton, of the iconic wineries of British Columbia, and of course the team here at Red Barn Vineyard, who hosted us in this gorgeous, lovely, and yes, indeed, a windy site. And to our production team, our on-site producer, Mike Whittingham, home studio Dwayne Bishop, assignment producer Sherry Caleb, and director of operations Stu Ferguson. Thank you all for putting the show together. We'll be back next week across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy your summer.
That's it for today's show. On location from Red Barn Winery, this is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gizmondi.